This is episode 9 of Encounter Points.
Welcome to this episode of Encounter Points. I'm Ken Hellenius.
And I'm Bill Schmidt.
In our previous episode, our topic was food and drink. Absolutely a fitting topic for the conversational journey that we've been on, because we've been talking over the course of the last 8 episodes about joy. You might say we concluded that food and drink are essential ingredients, as it were, in the sharing of joy, which is indispensable to our pursuit of personal encounters and opportunities to evangelize.
And now, in this closing episode, we turn to the essence of our pursuits as Catholics, which is peace. Our outreach to others really has to mirror Jesus, whose greetings included, "Be not afraid," and "My peace I give to you." Our world is fearful and turbulent and bustling, so we really have to discover and embody and share Christ's peace if we want to bless people's lives.
So, would you perhaps say that this episode is the piece de resistance of our series? Or, better yet, how about peace without resistance?
Well, I'm not going to pose any resistance to that. Our conversations throughout have given me peace and joy, Ken. So let's enter another one right now. Say hello, Ken, and welcome to episode nine. A wonderful series of podcasts that can take many names and has taken many forms. It's kind of our last episode in this series, so I want to first welcome you and then say, how's the journey been for you, brother?
Delightful. I think I've mentioned to you multiple times, if not on mic, then certainly off mic, that getting to know you over these past 9 recording sessions has been thoroughly engaging.
Thank you.
I knew the name Bill Schmidt, and now I feel I know the person, Bill Schmidt,
right?
The brother in Christ, Bill Schmidt.
Thank you.
The joyful man, Bill Schmidt.
Oh, that's very kind. And what a wonderful testimony to one of the purposes of this whole podcast, one of the key themes, joy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I appreciate that.
Well, and I think it's a point. It's an encounter point.
Exactly. Really, that's another important theme and title.
It's a title. Exactly.
It's a title. Yeah.
So what are we going to talk about tonight? Because we've explored the various forms of joy and the way joy kind of works in faith, the way joy is a tool of evangelization, the way joy is an invitation to encounter Jesus Christ, the person, the God-man.
Right.
How are we doing that tonight?
It seems as though all of this builds up to a crucial part of the Catholic faith, a crucial part of encounters, and a crucial part of the new evangelization and the mission of the church even more broadly, and that is peace. So I thought we could talk about peace when, the Lord says, my peace I give you, peace be with you. Mm-hmm. He says it an awful lot, it seems, in the scriptures. And so there must be something really central to that, and because Jesus is nothing less than the way, the truth, and the life, and the kind of nexus point for all of the things we've been talking about, maybe peace is some kind of key for understanding how everything that we've talked about in these encounter points can be pulled together. What do you think? I'm hopeful that there's some harmony to it all.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting and important, I think, that at the beginning of his life, the nativity, what is it that the angels say when they are there in the heavens to the shepherds? Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Yes.
And then what is the first thing that he does to greet his apostles after the resurrection? But to appear to them in the upper room where they had broken bread together, you know, not 3 days before,
right,
to say, peace be with you.
Yes, he knew that they needed it at that moment too. Yes, they're right. And it pulled everything together for them.
Yeah. So peace has obviously more for the Christian, more of a meaning than just the absence of war.
Right.
It has something to do with the way that we experience God,
right,
and the way that we are members of the body of Christ.
Yes.
I think
you're right.
And that has practical effects. It's not merely just a platitude, but it is something that is practical for us. So I'm interested in finding out what that is. What does that even mean?
Yes.
How can it be practical? How do we practice peace in our own life?
Yes. And how do we reflect it through a fullness of all of these encounter points and all of the blessings that we receive and pass along through the church, rather than what sometimes is the earthly version of peace, which is a kind of maybe not emptiness, but a kind of status quo. Really not too much substance, and that kind of peace doesn't interest me, and I don't think it interests the dynamic kind of Catholic, and it's not going to interest the dynamic kind of human being whom we might be trying to evangelize. We have to show that our peace comes from a fullness of joy and humor and truth and trust and beauty and the transcendentals. I think that's truth, beauty, and goodness.
Yes.
But yeah, we're still doing our research on that. There will be future episodes where we can study the transcendentals more. But yes, it has to be full of very important, compelling, attractive things.
Yeah. There's an aspect to the very concept of peace that I think is easy to dismiss as hippy dippy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think of songs like Peace is Flowing Like a River.
Right.
You know, and the sentiment is nice, but it seems to be just a sentiment.
Yes.
You know, we can sing that in church and then on the way out of the church parking lot be angry that somebody cut us off and went ahead of us.
Exactly. We can lose that peace so quickly.
Yeah. And so I wonder, is it more than just a word? Is it something that truly is communicable?
I like
and
that.
Shared.
Yes.
Or is it simply the absence? It's, as we said before, it's not the absence, merely the absence of war, but
right.
You're not at peace if everybody in the society is, you know, following and doing their role because they're afraid.
Right.
They're afraid of offending someone, or they are afraid of punishment.
Right.
I mean, living in a sense of fear and living, you know, lockstep, and there being no external kind of disagreements is not peace either.
That's right. And I think our Jewish brothers and sisters, our elder brothers and sisters in the faith,
yeah,
right, they have that word shalom,
yeah,
which is a wonderful way of saying peace. And I know that they say it when they greet you, and they say it when they're parting from you.
And I think the word salam,
uh-huh,
in Arabic means the same.
Very good
salam
point.
And shalom.
Yes,
so,
yes. And I think that shalom does mean not just a greeting or a farewell, but a wholeness, a completeness, a kind of circumstance where connections are made, relationships are existing. And that's the kind of peace that I think we're talking about as our goal. What do you think?
That seems to be the beginning. Yeah. Absolutely. Plutarch.
Yeah.
Plutarch, the great Roman writer, has this wonderful kind of quotation from his work Numa Pompilius, in which he says, "There is no employment that gives so keen and quick a relish for peace as husbandry and a country life, which leave in men all that kind of courage that makes them ready to fight in defense of their own, while it destroys the license that breaks out into acts of injustice and rapacity." And what I'm thinking, you know, what he's saying here, obviously, is this idea that when we realize that we are content,
right,
that we have our place in society, we have our place in our household, when all seems right with the world, a place for everything, everything in its place,
right,
that is the beginning of peace.
Yeah.
We are willing to strive, to struggle, to keep those things in their right relationship.
Right.
Which reminds me of the bumper sticker that you'll see, the Paul VI quote.
Yeah.
If you want peace, work for justice.
Yes.
And that's, a very famous quotation. Again, I've seen it on bumper stickers, and it's
right,
popular among the Pax Christi USA crowd, of course. St. Thomas Aquinas, interestingly enough, says something that kind of, in a way, doesn't contradict, but it extends this.
Yeah, right.
And it is, he says in the Summa, second part of the second part, question 29, article 3.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah. A favorite, right?
Yes.
"Peace is the work of justice indirectly."
Oh, interesting.
"Insofar as justice removes the obstacles to peace."
Very good.
"But it is the work of charity directly, since charity, according to its very notion, causes peace."
Yeah.
Now remember, charity is the greatest of the infused virtues.
Right.
It is that which, charity is, in the words of the Catechism, the love of God for his own sake.
Right.
And the love of neighbor as ourself.
Yeah.
When we truly love God for his own sake, we are giving back to the Creator as created beings. We are giving back what we can because we owe everything to God.
That's right.
And in loving our neighbor as ourself, we are in right relationship, recognizing that they too, you too, Bill, are a created being just as I am. I love me and I love you. And I love the fact that we have been created side by side by God.
Yes. Yeah.
Along with everything that we see, touch, know, and experience.
It truly is awesome. Yeah,
and this is, so injustice, I don't jack your stuff.
All right.
Push your golf cart out of the way so that I can go first.
Right.
I actually recognize that you too have rights and I have a responsibility towards you.
Yes.
In doing those, observing your rights and bearing and fulfilling my responsibilities towards you, I've removed the obstacles to love you.
Right.
Charity is the fulfillment. Charity is the natural cause of peace.
Yeah.
Justice is removing the obstacles that allow me to truly love you.
Yeah.
So that's what Thomas is getting at.
And
I think he's really onto something, because ultimately it comes back to the greatest of these is love.
That's right.
Right? So remember, Christ is telling us, peace be with you.
Yeah.
Love one another as I have loved you.
Right.
You know, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You know,
yes.
It always comes back to love.
It does.
I think for us as Christians, it always comes back to love.
Super omnia caritas, as a friend of ours likes to close his notes with, above all, charity.
Above all, charity.
Yeah.
That's your friend particularly, isn't it? No, I like him. Is this Holy Father Francis?
No, actually, it's Peter Lapsey.
Peter Lapsey?
Yes.
Oh, I know
him.
That's funny.
I know. I've probably read more emails by him than you have.
I suspect so. I'm rapidly catching up, though. Hi, Pete, esteemed coworker, esteemed colleague.
But the connection of justice with charity makes me think also of something that's top of mind for a lot of Catholics, and namely justice and mercy. Yes. It really, it's the same. Mercy is the charity of God in a real sense.
Yeah.
And in God, justice and mercy are inseparable, I would say.
They've kissed, according to the scriptures.
Yes, yes. Justice and mercy, and justice and peace, and justice and love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that what I've always found it interesting that that Jesus said to his disciples, peace be with you. My peace I give you.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, does signify that godly kind of peace, which is that perfect unity of mercy and justice,
yes,
charity, and it's a proactive fullness rather than what we were saying earlier is the misconstrued peace of just the absence of hostilities,
right,
and emptiness.
Or an order imposed.
Or an imposed
from without.
Peace, right.
Yeah. Yeah. This is that idea. Actually, I think both Augustine and Aquinas both kind of speak to this, is that everybody seeks peace, but without charity, everybody seeks their own form of peace. And that is that everything's in the order that I want it. So
right.
Augustine in City of God actually says, for every man seeks peace by waging war, but no man seeks war by making peace. For even they who intentionally interrupt the peace in which they are living have no hatred of peace, but only wish it changed into a peace that suits them better.
Indeed, right.
They do not therefore wish to have no peace, but only one more to their mind.
Yes,
you
exactly.
Know? And Aquinas
yes.
kind of repeats the same idea. So that is, you know, sure, I want peace on my terms.
Right, right.
Christ says, you know, my peace I give you.
Exactly.
And that's what he encourages us to share, the
yes.
peace of God.
Yes, exactly.
The peace of God, which is mercy and justice together.
Exactly. And that constitutes the way, the truth, and the life.
And the life, yeah.
Yes.
John 10:10, by the way.
Oh, very good, very okay. good. Yeah. And another aspect of the active role of peace and the active nature of peace is in the Beatitudes. It occurred to me while you were talking that
yes.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
Uh-huh.
It's not something, peace is not something that, you know, just happens or is present in, when everything else kind of withdraws. It's when everything comes together, and
yes.
it has to be proactively made with
waged, if you will.
Yes, exactly. And it has to be a blessing from God. And Saint Francis talks about how
there.
We only because I don't have a Chesterton quote for the evening.
Oh man, I should have looked him up. As Holy Father Francis says, please.
Fair, yes.
Yes.
No, the idea is make me an instrument of your peace. And again, so you couldn't be an instrument of something that was an absence. Huh?
Yeah.
It would have to be something that was in constant a state of making, a state of reaching out, a state of creativity.
Yeah.
So all of those things really give a new appreciation to peace. And if we can project that kind of peace to other people, it's just an awesome thing. And indeed, doesn't Paul in the epistles say that the peace of God is beyond all
comprehension?
All comprehension.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way to do that is through prayer and thanksgiving and a lot of things coming together.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you use the term kind of coming together, or you, as you say, make me an instrument of your peace. Think about instruments, music, and really what we're talking about is harmony, right?
Like that,
in a way,
right.
I mean, these instruments play together in a harmonious fashion that is peaceful to the ears, because when things are disharmonious or atonal, they sound unresolved, which again points to this idea of peace being something that brings us back together, and it is a goal to strive towards rather than just an absence of something. And what I'm reminded of is this idea that actually comes up in some of the early actually Thucydides in the Peloponnesian War speaks of this. This idea that when two parties go to war and they cease hostilities and the you know, winning party imposes terms of peace that are burdensome.
Yes.
All they're doing is postponing the, you know, kind of restart of the war.
That's right.
But when they offer something, terms of peace that are not burdensome, that are actually mutually beneficial.
Right.
Which is to show mercy, ultimately.
Exactly.
Then there's mutual respect and appreciation for what has taken place. So he actually kind of says, if great enmities are ever to be really settled, we think it will be not by the system of revenge and military success and by forcing an opponent to swear to a treaty to his disadvantage, but when the more fortunate combatant waives these his privileges to be guided by gentler feelings, conquers his rival in generosity, and accords peace on more moderate conditions than he expected. From that moment, instead of the debt of revenge which violence must entail, his adversary owes a debt of generosity to be paid in kind and is inclined by honor to stand to his agreement. So this is the idea. That's how you actually make peace.
Right.
And it requires mercy. It requires saying, yes, perhaps you owe me, but in the desire for true peace, I'm going to waive that.
Yes.
This is when justice and mercy kiss.
Yes.
And mercy is allowed to show. I mean, mercy bursts forth in charity at that point, right?
That's right. Our society, at least the popular culture or the public square political media type culture, too often forgets that now, and people are either not searching for peace at all or are searching for a kind of peace or some kind of standoff, maybe that's more like a standoff where
or my enemy must be destroyed.
Yeah.
Damnatio memoriae.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The obliteration of all memory.
Wow.
You know?
Yes.
How many people have taken a dive on Twitter,
yes,
you know, kind
that's
of
right.
You know, said something perhaps ill-advised or frankly stupid. And
right.
All of a sudden those people, they have to delete their Twitter accounts and never show their face on social media.
Yes.
You know.
It's kind of the scorched earth policy that used to be, I guess, one form of not peace, but cessation of hostilities. When you know the loser in a battle, or you know, or when the combatant was about to lose, one of their last acts was to kind of just pull everything down and remove history, remove resources, and that's exactly the absence of peace, isn't it? Not the fullness of sustainable peace. Also just the need for peace in encounters like those that Pope Francis is talking about so much. We have to really find a middle ground with those folks with whom we're encountering and engage both justice and mercy and absolutely charity above all in these encounters. And when we show that kind of peace to them, those folks on the margins, however they might be defined, that's an outreach that's going to be transformative to them. Transformative to the world, really. Certainly transformative to us as well. So that's the new evangelization writ large, I think.
In a nutshell, even.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although if it was writ large, it probably wouldn't fit in a nutshell. But
that's an excellent point. Depends on how big the nut is.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, like your walnut, much more than a hazelnut.
Yes.
Or a filbert. I don't know what you call them out here. They were filberts in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
But hazelnuss in Austria and Germany.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yes. That's. I just picture a very huge nut when I think
not.
Of a hazelnut.
It's super tiny.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah, the hazelnut. You know, it's just a tiny little tasty thing.
See that? Okay.
High in fat.
The power of language.
I'd just like to point out that this is one of those shows that you listen to and you're not getting just what you dialed in for. Of course, we'll probably have to edit this out because it's lame. But you know, that's never stopped me before.
another point that. You were talking about earlier reminded me of another one of our episodes. You were saying that peace cannot be manipulative, and it reminded me of the episode where we talked about beauty.
Yeah,
and it's really
we were talking about alt beauty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And beauty, kind of, when it's true beauty. And a reflection of reality and a reflection of God, it's transparent. It's non-manipulative, and it's uniting.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of the things that now find their way into some museums or become the icons of movements or...
Enter the zeitgeist, if you will.
Yes, indeed. They enter the zeitgeist. Yes, with the hazelnuss.
Exactly.
Those kinds of beauty or attempts at beauty really do become manipulative.
Yeah. They
don't help achieve peace. They don't really inform. They don't bring sides together. They only drive people further apart. So, peace. There's so much more to peace than might be in the usual day-to-day discourse in our society.
That's a really excellent point. We keep coming back to that because I think we've discussed kind of that idea of manipulation and art and that we've discussed it on multiple occasions now.
Yeah, you're right. Yes.
We may just have to do we may just remake the entire podcast series about that particular thing.
Well, it's true that I think it came up in our discussion of humor because humor can be either a reflection of reality that's in a sense loving because it's acceptance of truth and surprise and mystery, but it's
it can also be used to tear down and to
exactly
drive away.
Yes and in other words is manipulative,
right?
And if we can avoid those kinds of things and go for the encounter points, as it were, that unite and are transparent and are full of the abundance of blessings from the Lord and through the church, that's going to make it a win-win situation in the new evangelization, I think.
I think you're right. Well, Bill, good conversation, bro.
Thank you. Thank you. Likewise, I appreciate talking with you about this. As I was saying, the good points you raised just make me hyperlink to other topics that we've discussed and other topics that I'd like to discuss in the future, hence perhaps more to come.
Fortunately, this medium is not yet exhausted.
That's wonderful. Yes, I guess we have to thank God for the internet.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, we'll see where the conversation goes from here.
Yes, and we'd welcome our audience back for more.
Exactly.
But I most heartily welcome you back for more. Thank you for your participation in these conversations.
Well, I heartily thank you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our conversation during this episode and throughout the entire series of Got Joy. You can subscribe to hear future episodes at our website, encounterpoints.com. You can leave your feedback on various episodes and you can contact us as well. Our theme music is Leaves by Airtone, licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution License. We hope to encounter you again, perhaps even in our next series.